All right, well, I'd like to call this meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners to order. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Do you have this mic?
I don't. Can everybody hear me all right?
This was for the recording.
Is this one for the recording?
Yes.
Okay, then I will definitely use that. Didn't know if it was for that little mini PA system or not. Okay, again, call the meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners to order. Like to thank everybody for attending today. In the back of the room, to your right as you entered, there is a copy of the agenda in both Braille and print, a copy of the Open Meeting Act in Braille and print. You would like to peruse it, and if you'd like a copy of the agenda, there's one back there. If necessary, we will be taking some breaks, but the restrooms are out the door to your left and down, I believe, to the next set of doors on your left.
No.
The right.
They're straight across the hall.
Oh, well, great. Thank you for the correction. That's an important fact. So they're across the hall on the right. Okay. There will be a couple opportunities for public comment throughout the meeting today. When we get to those times, we will ask for names of individuals who'd like to speak, and then we will call on those individuals one at a time. If we get through the entire list, we will ask if there's anyone else that wanted to speak again before moving on to the next item on the agenda. The meeting today is being recorded. The recording will be, and the recording and the minutes will be posted on our website roughly a week after the meeting. Is that right?
The recording a week, the minutes, the actual paper copy within 10 days.
Okay. And Kathy, if you could tell us where the meeting was advertised.
The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, the North Platte Telegraph, the State Government Calendar, NCBVI website, NFB Newsline, sent to Radio Talking Book, and to ACBN, NFBN, and the NCBVI listserv.
Okay, great. Thank you so very much. I believe that's all the normal announcements at the beginning. Go ahead and do some quick introductions. My name is Mike Hansen, the chairman of the commission, and I am from Lincoln, Nebraska, and represent the interests of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska.
Okay. So my name is Robert New, and I'm from Omaha, and I'm the co-chair.
Here you go, Mr. Chad.
I'm Chad Bell. I'm from Alliance, Nebraska.
So I'll pass it
back.
Becky Reakin from Dakota City, Nebraska, Executive Secretary.
Mark Bolger, I'm from Omaha, and I'm the American Council of the Blind designee on this board.
Carlos Servan, NCBVI Interim Director, Lincoln.
Kathy Stevens, Administrative Assistant from Lincoln.
Fritz Neufer, Vocational Rehab Counselor from North Platte.
Virgil Scott from North Platte.
I'm Beth Daly, and I'm the driver from the Omaha office.
Rochelle Richter from North Platte.
Just running down through the agenda real quick. We will approve approve the minutes from our last two meetings. On the agenda, it does say commissioner's report. However, that's a typo. That's what I get for copying and using last time's agenda and editing it. We actually voted not to include that anymore. Following that, we'll have the report from the interim executive director. Moving on to an update on our budget and through the biennium process. We'll have a time for public comment break. We will hear a little bit about what's going on with Newsline. We will cover any complaints that have come through the CAP client assistance program process. Go over a submission that came in through the anonymous staff suggestion box. We will talk about the Nebraska Business Enterprise, get an update on that program. We will then, for a new business, we will talk about an adjustment to the guidelines that the commissioners follow regarding per diem. Again, we will have an opportunity for public comment. We'll tie up any final announcements. And then while we won't adjourn, essentially the meeting will be done at that point for the public, and the commission board will move into executive session to do a review of the applicants that we've received for the position of executive director. When we return from that, we will have a list. The list of the finalists, the job candidate finalists, will be, I believe, will be part of the minutes. It will be, I think that's, it'll be public knowledge who they are. That's my understanding. So that'll be part of the minutes. And then, so we'll come back from executive session and adjourn the meeting at that point. Hopefully, the public meeting part of this will be done around 11:45. So, starting off then with the approval of the May 6th meeting minutes, do I hear a motion? The commissioners have all received these already in a draft form. We were able to review them and provide any comments and feedback to Kathy, who edited them. So it's just a matter of approving them at this point.
So
we need to do one at a
make
time.
That what?
We need to do one at a time.
Yeah. So for the May minutes, thanks for that. Okay. I make the motion that we do approve the May minutes as they were presented to us.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that the May minutes be approved as they are today. Do a quick roll call vote. Chad?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Mark?
Abstain.
And Mike is yes. Do I hear a motion for the June 17th special meeting, the minutes from that meeting?
Second. I'll move to approve the meetings, the minutes from that meeting in June.
Okay.
Second.
Mark. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes from our June 17th special meeting. Quick roll call vote. Chad?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
And I say yes as well. Next item on the agenda was the commission report, which again, we decided not to include any longer. And I'm sorry, let me rephrase that, commissioner's report. So we will move on to a report from the interim executive director, Carlos Serpa.
Do you want me to? I will pass the mic over to you.
Can you guys hear me okay there?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. By the end of the state fiscal year, June 30th, we served 790 VR clients in all statuses. Of the active VR clients, 34 were close having achieved their employment goals. 49 were close without achieving their goals.
because they were like reducing further services, disability too severe, unable to locate, death transferred to another agency, another 5 clients were closed before a plan for employment was developed. There were 382 active clients at the end of the fiscal year. On the independent living track, 513 clients were served. Of those active clients, 219 were close, achieving their independent living goals. 15 were close without achieving their goals. Withdrew services, were diseased, institutionalized, and other health reasons. At the end of June, 199 remain in the caseload, and all of those are on the older blind caseload. We are now required to get pre-approval from RSA for all expenditures over $5,000. That's going to create some issues, and it's mainly for agency issues or cases. It will not affect case services though. In 1995, all state agencies received a waiver, but that expired, so until we get a new waiver, we need to, each time we want to purchase something, and it's not going to be from the client's case alone, we need to get permission from RSA. That will mainly affect buying vending machines. But we already contacted with them, and they say that it's going to be a quick process, so we will hope so.
Do you have an idea of how long before they do activate that waiver again, so you don't have to
It's activated, but we haven't had an experience with them yet. We were just told that we need to start doing it.
Carlos, I apologize. I think what Chad was asking, but certainly what I'm asking, is will there be a new waiver put in place so this process isn't needed some point in the future?
We haven't heard that.
Okay.
What we were told is we are not going to hear anything until there is a commissioner of RSA, and we haven't heard anything about that yet.
All right.
So, Carlos, one other quick question that I just told Des today. So the $5,000 purchases, what kind of purchases are we talking about?
Any purchase that are not client related, anything for staff, for the agency.
Wow.
Let's say we need to buy 3 computers for Omaha and 3 JAS licenses, that will go over $5,000. So we need to ask RSA if we could do it.
That's interesting, RSA wants that, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's federal dollars.
Well, exactly.
Okay.
Well, it's a federal mandate. Looks like all federal agencies are supposed to do it. But we got a waiver from RSA before.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay.
Nope.
Regarding the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, they're basically the state level and the local level. I'm going to start attending the state partners, not the board, because the board, the agency doesn't have a representative on the state board. But on the local partners and the council, the agency does, so I'm attending those with Bob Litton too. At the local level, we have the Omaha board and the Greater Nebraska. Each of them also have the local partners. Once again, in the local level, the cities appoint the board, and it's a combination of agencies with businesses. They also have local partners, though, and we do have representation in the local partners. In Lincoln, at the time we wrote, or I wrote this report, there was an application that is going to help job seekers to look for jobs in an easier way. However, we found out that it wasn't accessible. So Connie Daly, the Lincoln District Supervisor, filed a complaint with the Department of Labor Secretary, Mr. Oven, John Oven, and also with the Lincoln Board. She explained the concern, and as a result, the State Equal Opportunity Officer contacted Connie to help with the situation. The one-stop operator city of Lincoln Urban Development, Jan Orlander Jensen, also met with Connie Daly on July 3rd, and as a result, we learned that the private entity, Leadership Lincoln, were the ones developing this app. They contacted Connie Daly and had constant communication since then. So they are assuring that the app will not be implemented until it is accessible. This is critical because they are planning to use this app also in the Omaha and the Greater Nebraska board. On Thursday, June 27, just a couple of days ago, they have a demonstration of the new app, and it is now mostly accessible. Again, goes back thanks to Connie Daly's efforts.
Carlos?
Yeah.
At the beginning of this section, you were talking about the State Board for the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, and that you would not be participating in those meetings because our agency does not have a seat on that board.
Correct.
And I guess I'm curious as to why that we do not, as a separate independent agency, we're not part of the General Vote Rehab.
So yeah, who's on it?
Why would we not have a seat there?
Yeah, I know. We in the past, we complained about that meeting in the 98 amendments. But in this one, it's up to the governor. And the governor appointed one from a VR agency. In this case, it's the Voc Rehab agency.
Mm-hmm.
The argument I heard is because the larger the board, the more money they spend. And these new type of governments, they are trying to send the message, they don't want to spend money, even though each agency pay for those expenses.
Are these public meetings?
Yes.
It would seem that it'd be important that we know what's going on at those meetings, and I guess I would encourage you to make sure that we have representation there, even if we don't hold a position on the board, that we're there in the public.
Yep.
Making sure that we know what's going on, that we are in, that we can have a voice during a time of public comment or something, that we can raise a question to that board still.
I agree. I plan to attend and eventually work on maybe changing in the state and be part of the board.
How often do they meet?
Quarterly.
Okay.
Every 3 months. Yeah.
Do we have representation on the Lincoln and Omaha local boards?
At this point, we don't, only the partners. But I'm appointing or send at least for Lincoln, I send a recommendation for Connie. Connie is also advocating after this issue happened, and chances are that she will be appointed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pushing the issue there because, again, we should be on the board, but the message is the less people they have, the better it will be.
Mm-hmm. Is there a limit on the board size, do you know?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to get more business
sure.
folks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I neglect to mention on the WIOA, at the state level with the partners, they are developing a intake system, and we were very involved, so it would be accessible. When West Majors was around, he and I worked together to make sure that the language is in the request for proposal.
Okay.
and that intake to, is to share intake information with different state agencies. Okay, on the field services, all field counselors were working during the past few months on transition events, especially on a wages program. We also sent some students to Camp Abilities the week of July 17th. The counselors continue to work with the public schools to improve our relationships. A memorandum of understanding was signed with the Department of Education regarding the collaboration in CBVI and the public schools, especially in the area of pre-employment transition services. In addition, field staff continue to network with medical professionals and are looking for more relationships so we can get more referrals for our agency. In the area of human resources and staff development, a three-day workshop in May was conducted by the Mississippi State University. It was a pilot project. We didn't spend any money on that. And this was about effective networking with employers. The MSU trainers were impressed with the level of support we already provide to our counselors and clients. This training was an introduction of the importance of networking with employers to several of our new staff members and a refresher training for senior staff. We have a couple of staff members attending the Deaf-Blind Awareness Proclamation signed by the governor on June 7th. John Schmidt, the North Platte VR counselor, attended a national project search conference. Several Lincoln District counselors attended Taste of Coaching training, where they learn about the type of coaching available to them. The tech or the rehab technician from North Platte left her position because of her husband relocating for a better job. So now the technician from Kearney, Adrian Moody, is covering those duties. So she's working full time for now. Josie was able to return. We are very happy that she's doing well for now. And well, she's supporting that North Scotts Bluff office. Wes Majures, the technology manager, left the agency on June 23rd. At this point, we finished screening the applications and we should be interviewing next week. I think we are going to interview five people. The deputy director for staff development initiated the annual professional development plan reviews, and that's statewide. He will do that and trying to find out who needs what in order to achieve their professional goals. Julie Buring and Jeff Allman are the NCBVA staff who won the Governor's Awards for Excellence and Leadership. In case someone needs a reminder, it used to be that we needed to appoint a supervisor and a staff member. Now it can be either. However, it was very, very stressful. We went live with AWARE on July 3rd. The system is up and running. Many of the staff members worked very hard to make this work.
Carlos?
Yeah.
Do we still, eForce is still up and running. Are we doing dual, I can't remember if we're doing dual entry right now.
Right now, no, just AWARE.
Just AWARE. So anything, we're not putting anything into eForce any longer. Everything's going into AWARE, and eForce is only there for reference.
Correct.
Okay.
They are transferring everything from from E-Force to AWARE. They are still working on transferring that information.
Will we get to a point in the next few months where we'll be able to turn E-Force off, or will it have to stay up and running for a certain length of time for archival purposes?
My understanding is that it's basically off now in the sense that you cannot enter information, but we are going to keep it for at least a year. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Julie Burin, Carol Jenkins, and Connie Daly were very involved in the adaptation, development, and training of the system. In addition to those three staff members, Nancy Fleurel and Erin Brandyberry provided training to the different districts. Bill Brown did provide some training and will continue to provide training on the business portion of AWARE. Some of the difficulties we encountered was we needed to upgrade our Windows to Windows 10, and the screen reader staff are having some difficulties, but we were told that with the new update of JAS in October, those issues should be solved. Julie Buring last week went to a training with the AWARE folks on the 9/11 reporting. So far, she's saying that it's being very, very helpful. Nebraska Center for the Blind. The landlord finished building a new restroom at the center. And as they were working on the hallway pipes, they discovered that it has some asbestos. So they have to wait for some of that renovation. And Carol Jenkins decided to wait for new clients to start training until the end of July and beginning of August. So I understand they are done with the project, they are just trying to do some finishing. And we have right now three clients at the center, and by the end of August we should have 9, according to the schedules. Center participants continue to get challenging activities to promote and build confidence. The issue of the new center apartments still is open. We haven't got serious bidders at this time, but the state building division is working on it. One of the problems is that so far the apartments they are showing us are very far away. I need to transfer to more than one bus route. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the area of transition, we have 16 participants at the wages and 3 additional base work learning opportunities through a partnership with the Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind and Visually Impaired. That's the one, the school in Nebraska. This one is basically for students who have secondary disabilities, and it's very difficult for them to complete their regular traditional wages training. We provided job readiness trainers, we used to call them job coaches. So if this term is new to you, it's because we are not supposed to pay for quote-unquote job coaches out of the pre-employment transition services, because in their definition, a job coach is when you are already in your job, your final job, and in this case they are on job readiness, so we call it job readiness trainer. It's a new definition for us. Sorry. Pardon me?
That works.
Yeah. We also have a transition committee. Shane Burish, our transition coordinator, it's coordinating those efforts. It's basically each district has a counselor in that committee, and we want to be consistent on the services we provide to the districts and also how we partner with the public schools and any other entity that serve this population. Nancy Flerol and Shane Burrish attended a capacity building forum in Kansas City, which is a nationwide conference. In the past, we were not invited to participate in this forum. They look at the VR General Agency as the only agency. Thanks to the initiative and efforts of Shane Burrish, we were able to get in that list, and now we are getting information about the forum. Under other activities, we finished drafting the revised rules for NCBPI. Kathy Stevens is not going to be working with we're subcontracting with someone who is going to help Kathy to go over those rules. Has to deal more with the formatting, this, make sure that all the formatting looks good for the legal review with the state. State Department, Secretary of State. Before that, it will be open to the public for input. And of course, you will look at that. I think you guys have already a draft, right?
We've seen a draft.
Yeah. We have developed a few more contracts or templates. As you will recall, the state auditor recommended that we have legal review for major contracts. So we developed some templates to providers of supported employment, especially for persons with intellectual developmental disabilities, brain injury, autism, behavioral health conditions, and any other person with extra disabilities that require this type of training. We had a contract with Ability Funds, but we had to end this contract because the owner had family emergencies and she had to concentrate on those issues. At this point, we haven't replaced this person or contract because we need to look at the budget and talk to the supervisor about the needs of whether or not we should subcontract with a new company. I am attending the ADA Task Force, where several state agencies are represented. We are working on having a board which will help to support efforts of this office. They are taking applications for folks to be on that board too, and they should be in their web page. The report I have, the next is the MBE. I have it as part of the executive director's interim report. Do you want me to go over, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Carlos, I mean, it just makes sense to you. You'll be given that again anyway.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of funny that it's separate anyway, and we don't get separate reports on each district or on the training center. It's kind of unusual that it's broken out and separate anyway. Just thinking about that.
Well, it used to be two different people. But
we don't have, even with it being two different, we don't ask
each supervisor.
Each supervisor to be here and report separately. We don't ask Carol to be here and report separately.
I don't know, yeah. Maybe just more questions.
No, what happened, if I may, Mr. Chair?
Right. I was just going to ask the board if there would be any opposition to just possibly asking the executive director just to include that as part of their report on a quarterly basis, just like they do with it.
But I would like to ask the, so Carlos, so if you were the
executive director for Rio. I mean, would you feel like the person that's running the program takes over those duties, which are presently your duty, if you get a new person that takes over those duties, do you want them to give the report? Do you think it'd make more sense for them to give it? Or
I don't think so, for the reasons Mike mentioned. We don't have the other supervisor or the center or technology to come to report in the areas.
So it should be rolled up into the one report?
I would say so. And it will also help to send a message to the whole agency that we are one team and not keep MBE separate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the beginning, there was a different reason why this MBE report wasn't there. But that maybe I can talk to you more about that if you want. But that was a different reason. So they just wanted a report on Braille on the vending machines. That was the reason why that was there. Yeah. And then it evolved to a regular report.
Okay. In the past, the board has had, just like the commissioner's report, we've had other items that have been on here that over time, the importance of the board, the value that it served has changed.
Yeah.
We used to have a website report every time where we were getting a report on how many hits the web page got on a monthly basis, and we've done away with that. We realize it's an important aspect of how we communicate to the public, and we didn't need to get an update on how many times it got accessed on a month. Would others on the board have any opposition to executive director asking the NBE supervisor to provide an update, and the executive director just include that in his report on a monthly basis in the same manner that the field supervisors and the center supervisors do today?
No, I think it just makes sense to me.
It works. We can change it later. We really don't think it does, but why not?
I would go along with that with the condition that there is a section where we do specifically speak about the NBE program. Like when I listened to Carlos' program, I didn't necessarily discern which supervisor he was reporting on.
Sure.
But I do want to at least have some emphasis on the NBE program.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, I appreciate that point because, and Carlos, this is the first one of these that I think you've had put together. I think you've presented them in the past when
Suzanne
wasn't able to attend, but
correct.
I think she had actually put them together. One of the things that Dr. Van Zandt had done was that typically in her executive director reports, when she hit the topic of field services, she did touch on each district, and I think today this was a much higher summary. We didn't have a section breaking out, Omaha, Lincoln, North Platte districts, and what was going on in each individual one. There was certainly a section on the training center. But based on that, I could see where Mark's comment
was
very
clear. Well, I actually used to enjoy reading what the supervisors said about activity of their staff.
Yeah.
I thought that was always great.
We could send you that because we're saving those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I enjoyed reading those too.
Yeah.
And being that your executive report in its entirety is included in the minutes that Kathy puts together, it would be nice if that was included in the report so that we, not only is it just coming to the board in an email,
okay,
but that it's still part of the report that's given and made public to the.
Okay, sure, sure.
Asked to the brief minutes.
Cut that, Kathy?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I definitely not sitting here thinking that if the supervisor's reports are part of what goes on the website, that's great. I'm not saying you have to go into too much detail at all, unless there's something really special, maybe. Because, we just can't sit here super long time, but listen to all that stuff that we have read and people
right,
read.
Right.
The,
okay.
You would have to.
Yeah, I mean, frequently, and everybody operates differently, mm-hmm. and we're certainly going to be in a period of transition for a short time here. When Dr. Van Zandt would give that report, she definitely would not read everything verbally out loud like you appeared to have today. She would hit the highlights. All of the board would have read it already. We would ask questions about not only what she covered in the meeting, but that we'd ask if there was a topic that she skipped over because she didn't think it was as important, but that we had questions about, we would ask.
Correct. My intention was to read those highlights in this report mm-hmm. and provide to you this report from each district and supervisor.
Okay.
I think we just forgot to send those to you.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, what's wildly interesting, I'm sitting here thinking that we're telling you, you're the interim director and you're giving this report as the interim director. You may not be the interim director in the next
right.
month. You may,
yep.
you know, you might be the director, you might not be the director.
Right.
So who knows who's going to be presenting this report next time. So
yep.
we're kind of talking about kind of what we'd like to see, what the director's going to mm-hmm. give us,
sure.
which may or may not be you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good luck, dude. But, you
no,
know,
I understand.
But it's just interesting if someone could think that, they're talking like he's it, or something, but we don't
yeah.
know.
No, this was just my way to do the highlight, so.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. No,
yeah.
Did the supervisors provide those?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
the
so
intention was to send
that
it to you, guys.
I just want to make sure. I heard you say that they were kept.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They are there. The intention was to send it to you, but for some reason we didn't. But
all right.
That was the intention.
Okay.
Well, good.
Yeah, we have all of those.
Yeah.
I will email them to you.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Would you want me to include them in the minutes as
that
well?
That would be one.
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That
is there any reason the public can't see those?
No.
No.
Okay.
Yes. She can do this amendment to the executive director's report.
Oh, and this one's, I did appreciate the executive summary. I wasn't sure if I missed the other ones, but I felt like the year synopsis was pretty thorough.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, what I did was just pick the main things like the highlight that Pearl will do.
Mm-hmm.
It's my way to highlight things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So should I go to the MBE, Mr.
Yeah,
Chair?
I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Okay. The new operator who took the Department of Roads catering in February is doing very well. She's also managing the vending machines there. And then the two newest operators got their license. And one is in Lincoln and the other one is in Lincoln and Omaha, one in each place. We will be adding more Department of Corrections vending machines. The beauty of the Department of Corrections is that they are really looking at the state law as the federal law. They are not requiring a contract. We don't have to go for RFP. And I'm using that example to persuade the Department of Roads to do the same. I got a call saying that they want to renew the contract with the interstate vending machines. And that's scary because they were talking about doing an RFP. So we'll see what happens there. We are training a couple of candidates, one in Omaha and one in Lincoln, to see if they will become vendors. We are looking for more clients because we will have more chances and opportunities with the Department of Corrections, as well as hopefully the base in Omaha. Kerry DeFries is now working full-time at the Camp Ashland to fulfill our contract with the National Guard. We were having some issues there, and in order to keep the contract, we had to make some drastic changes, and there is a new line operator there. And now the guard is very happy. We also got a teaming partner to help the blind operator run the business. Kerry DeFries should be there also most part of August, and then go back to Lincoln. We were contacted by Offutt Air Base to arrange a meeting, and we met in May with a potential teaming partner. We told the offered staff that we will operate the 26 break rooms, will be a total of 26 vending machines. The teaming partner that we met back then declined because they offered air bases requiring that they put all the equipment to run the cafeteria, and that it's approximately $1 million to $1.5 million. So I work with other teaming partners and finding ways to come up with a new teaming partner. The problem is that we found a partner who wants to do it. They had the capital, but they offered an airbase. One example of what other federal cafeterias they are running. So then I had to find someone who is doing that. And they are going to visit the building, the construction, I believe is August 18th. And we should be making a decision soon after that. The Veterans Administration contacted us, but looks like it was just because of following their procedures. We sent certified letters saying that we want to run those buildings, one in Lincoln, one in Omaha, and we never heard back from them. So when I called to follow up, we were told that we need to negotiate with the canteen operators. The canteen operators are the guys who give money to the union or the employees' funds. So they basically say they want to do it. But according to the law, we are supposed to do it. And according to the law, they are supposed to do it. So there's some contradiction there. So I contacted Susan Gasho, who is an expert on Randall Shepherd, and in this type of situations, she suggested to send a letter telling them that we want to visit the place, and the chances were they were not going to answer, which was the case. Yeah. And the deadline for the 30 days was July 7th. So we're going to be filing for arbitration. My understanding is that her fees will be paid by the Department of Education. I already sent all the information to the Attorney General office in Lincoln, and we should be having a meeting in the next couple of weeks. I will let you know as soon as I hear from the next steps. There are two small opportunities, one in the Department of Agriculture in North Platte, and the other one with in INS in Grand Island. And that's very much it on the MBE report. Any questions on that?